Hi, and welcome to The Debrief Show, episode 4. This is all about inspiring action and helping people to do something with the communication that you've given them without sounding like a pushy car salesperson or something. We want to inspire people into action, but we don't want to bully them into it. So where's that balance? Often people are either too much or not enough, and the actions are left unsaid or just hinted at. We want you to be really clear on what the actions are, but we want you to feel really comfortable in being able to complete those actions and to actually expressly say what they are. In this episode, I'm joined by Will Grover, who works alongside me often at Simply Amazing Training. And we have a little chat about how to inspire action. There's lots of visuals on this. So if you're already watching on YouTube, then that's great. And if you're listening on podcast, welcome. You might want to have a look at the YouTube episode as well if you want to follow along with some visuals. And that's going to be found on my channel, Dee Clayton, under the playlist, The Debrief Show. So what are you going to learn in today's show? Well, we're going to teach you how the idea of silence at the end of the meeting is not commitment. So just because you say, we're going to do this by Friday, aren't we? And nobody speaks up, it doesn't mean that's a yes. You're just finding out on Friday that not everyone's done what you want them to do. And if you've ever been sitting in one of those meetings where nothing ever happened at the end, you're going to understand why and how to make sure that your meetings or your communications don't do exactly that. And if you don't want to be pushy, but you do want to inspire more action, this is the episode for you. And with no further ado, let's listen to the live show. Hi there. Hi, Will. Nice to see you.
Hi, welcome. Welcome, everyone.
And welcome to The Debrief Show, your 30-minute weekly shortcut to clearer, more confident and impactful communications. And I'm delighted that Will is joining me this week. So, Will Grover, welcome. Just tell us a little bit about who you are and where do you come from?
I come from the south. I live in Kent, kind of opposite France, nearer France than London. And my background is in this kind of stuff, actually. So coaching, mentoring, training people to be the best that they can be. And I've had the pleasure of working with you over the years, Dee, and this content. So I can speak with some authority about how it works.
Brilliant. And we have worked with lots of teams together on this exact topic, which is about inspiring action, but without sounding really pushy. And I know that you and I have worked with lots of teams on this exact topic and taught individuals on this. So you're my special guest because you know so much about this already. So let's have a look at what it looks like when people aren't inviting action. Have you ever been in one of those meetings, Will, where you just sit there and they've gone and said everything? And actually, sometimes it's quite interesting, but you've got no idea what to do next. Have you been in any of those meetings before?
Yeah, you just scratch your chin in sort of fascination. What just happened and what now? It's very, very confusing and time consuming over the course of a week. You've had a number of those meetings and you don't know what any of them mean to you personally. Just ask yourself, and how often do you find yourself in a meeting where people don't really know what it is that you've asked them to do? Or is it just me in the past? Do they always know what it is that you've asked them to do? Or do they never know what it is that you've asked them to do? Or is it somewhere in between? Interesting to find out what your experience has been so far.
I'll carry on and talk through the three moves that turn any talk or any discussion or meeting into action. So let's go through those three steps together. So the first thing is, like, some people don't mention what they want the outcome to be at all. So it's never even spoken about. So you're sat there thinking, I don't even know what I'm meant to be doing. But what we want to do is help people to lay the foundations successfully. And if you're thinking, where does this fit and how is where you do the action steps? So it's important to lay the foundations throughout the Simply Amazing structure in order to get to the point where you can ask for what you want, but without sounding pushy. So the first thing is to build rapport, say hello. There's lots I've spoken about this, and we're always talking about this in training, aren't we, Will? But make everybody feel welcome and everyone feel valued. Then you want to pace them and talk about the problems that they face. And we spoke about that probably in the what one section of the Simply Amazing structure. You know, these are the problems you face, aren't they? And you get people nodding along with you. So you are in their world. And then you finally do a safe setup so that it's okay for you to go into the beginning of the how section and start asking for stuff. So it might be a case that you start this now, like, do you agree with, so Will, say I've presented a new product to you. Will, do you agree that this is, you know, the elements of the what that I went through? Do you agree that this is a new product that's really good for this market?
Certainly sounds so.
Brilliant. So now I've got Will in a place where I want to be able to now ask for what I want. Clearly, if you said no, it's a load of rubbish. There's no point in asking anymore. I need to go and deal with that objection.
Yeah, so just thinking about what Dee said, it's all part of that structure, starting with the end in mind, really. I'm going to set the scene so that when I ask people to do what I want them to do, they will be compliant and they'll know exactly what it is I'm asking them.
Then we want to go from when a action is not agreed. So some people think that this is agreement. So I've told you, Will, to place an order with me. So that's agreement, isn't it? Because you've even nodded there, Will. So that's agreement, isn't it? Will, you're going to place the order now, aren't you?
Not quite. I've got some things I'm still working through, but I'm nodding just to stop this awkward conversation happening any further.
And maybe I haven't made it welcome. I haven't really invited you in. So where does this fall? What you want to do is you want to invite this commitment to happen. And this falls fair and square right into the how section. So you want to verbalize the next steps and you start with the least ask and move to the biggest ask, if you like. So first of all, I might ask Will if he would like a free sample, for example, but at least I ask. So we'll go through those. So the first thing is we verbalize it. We actually say what we want, starting with the smallest ask. So I might say, Will, you know, can we allocate the budget to do this, to put those samples aside?
Yeah, we can certainly work on that together.
Great. And then we might say we're open to objections. So Will's happy to do it, but say like Bob in finance, he's not quite so happy. I might say, okay, with open questions, I might say, okay, Bob, so you haven't got the budget at the moment. Should we do it in the next quarter? Or how could we? How could we have the budget to do that? When would that be? And so open questions, but not being defensive, but genuinely being interested in how you might solve this objection. And then the final piece here is getting individual commitment to that. So Will's happy, Bob's happy, but maybe there's some quieter people. If we're on the virtual call, especially, you need to be careful of this. If they've got their camera off, sometimes you can't even see them, if depending on your settings, if their camera's off. So it's really easy to miss people out, but make sure you get individual commitment to what you're doing, because you don't know who might be able to block what you're doing. Just because Bob and Will have agreed doesn't mean that Doris has agreed. So that's right, isn't it, Will? Everyone should agree, shouldn't they, Will?
I agree, but I'm not sure that Dave behind me is as committed as I am. Yeah, yeah. Silence is not commitment, is it?
No. So watch out for that, especially on those virtual calls.
So, yeah, thinking about what Deesha said, you know, getting people's commitment, are things clear enough for people to understand? Have you even mentioned what it is that you want them to do? What would you do differently now? Are there times that you think this might be handy? You can actually get some action going, some commitment from people in your audience, whether that's presenting formally or in a meeting or on a call. What would you do differently?
Great. I was just going to say that this stuff that we're covering now about asking for action specifically in the how section of the Simply Amazing Structure is outlined in detail. It is in detail in the High Performance Presentations book.
Yeah, so this, I have to say, this was probably what my first introduction to Dee and this whole strategy, the structure behind presenting well. And I thought I always really considered myself a fairly good communicator and a fairly effective presenter. But a lot of it, I have to admit, was probably down to kind of luck, being in the right room at the right place at the right time with the right products who were ready and people that were ready to buy, and having, you know, innate skills at communication. But what the book does is lays out a clear structure that anybody can follow and not leaving things to chance and accident. So if you're okay at presenting, this will make you even better. If you're timid right now, it will make you at least competent enough to feel like you can do this and do it well. So I think absolutely brilliant book. that's easy enough for anybody to digest and put into practice, more to the point. It's not just lots and lots of principle. It's really, really simple steps that you can follow right now to get the results that you want.
Thanks, Will. And yeah, there's especially lots of detail on the how section, which is what we're talking about now. I keep saying outline, but I'll tell you why, because the SAS structure is an outline of the whole presentation. So I know why I'm doing it.
It's not about reading the book. If you like it, if you find this fascinating, it's worthwhile reading the book. Just puts a bit more meat onto the bone so you can understand how those things are structured and why they're in the order that they're in. I think it gives you a lot more confidence to use that kind of structure or to understand the mechanics behind it. But even if you showed somebody a single page PDF of the steps and they wrote a presentation or a talk around that, it would still be better. It's just nice to have known, well, why it's so much better. How come?
Brilliant. And that single page download PDF is in one of the newsletters that followed episode 2. So that's in the newsletters if you're reading those. There's also the other book, Taming Your Public Speaking Monkeys, and you might wonder where this is relevant in this sort of how, because I haven't talked about being nervous. But Will, you've seen this in some of the clients that you've worked with, I know. What is it about the monkeys that have a role to play in the how section?
So, I mean, from a presenter's point of view, if you feel like people aren't on your side and there's a worry that people don't like what you're saying or like how you're saying it, then you're probably a little less likely to be clear, which is really weird given the circumstances, because people like clarity. Whether you're the audience or the presenter, it's nice to know what you need to know. And the monkeys, or the beliefs that get in the way sometimes of creating clarity and then commitment, is just, oh, well, I better not be too forceful, or people will think I'm being bossy. Or they might think I don't care about their feelings or something. They might feel hurt and then they won't like me. So it can stop you being as clear as you need to be in a presentation situation. And even from an audience's point of view, if you're a little bit nervous and your boss is telling you loads of information and expecting you to understand not just what they've said, but what it is they want you to do with it, you might sit there as an audience member and think, okay, well, I'm just going to nod along like I did earlier on until he said something to me. Just going to nod along so that I don't get any bad attention and then I leave the meeting and it's too late. My chance to ask for clarity is gone. So monkeys are present with everybody. And if going to a presentation or a meeting situation, knowing that, then we can pre-arm ourselves with some techniques that help to build rapport, that help people to ask you questions throughout and to ask for clarity if they don't have it, but also to build into our presentation so much stuff that everybody's clear by the end about what's been said and what's being asked. So yeah, that's really good. There's lots of science and neuroscience that goes into that book, and it's a really fascinating read.
Yeah, so the monkeys are relevant for each part of presenting and each part of the SAS. They can have a little role. But it reminds me when you said that they might not want to ask questions, because it takes us back to where the monkeys come from is when we were a lot younger, as you know, Will. And in class, for example, you know, we were never encouraged to, well, I was certainly never encouraged to ask questions at school. And we learned this kind of don't ask me, sort of glare away, look away. Don't look away so far that the teacher looks at you, but don't look at the teacher in the eyes in case they ask you a question. So we learn this, don't ask questions, don't we? So it's all from that.
And I think what's really interesting in the book is that pulls apart the difference between your personality style or preference and then something that you've learned as a strategy, which may or may not work for you. So if staying quiet and sort of sinking into the background is a strategy of yours because you're scared of speaking up, that it probably isn't serving you and the people that you work with, because your ideas are valuable. We want to hear from everybody. And certainly with things like commitment or instruction even, I need to know that you're actually going to follow through, that you're not just saying yes because I'm terrified or yes because I'm not clear on what's needed from me. Because then it ends up with, you know, you've got the work to do. If you're a boss, you're a leader. And it feels like everybody understands what you've said. Because they've nodded or they haven't said anything. And then later down the line, you feel like you've got to fill in everybody on the information again, and you've got to chase people and hold them accountable, explain things. It just takes a lot longer. It's a lot sort of more clunky. So yeah, good things to read and bone up on these two books, actually.
Let's go back to the final point here. We were talking about taking action, and specifically in, you know, using that how section of the Simply Amazing structure. And the last piece of, once we've got everybody doing what we want, the next sort of piece is to make sure that we're not being a bit too random about it. And we have said it, but of course we got a bit bored or a bit tired, and so we didn't quite be really clear about what actions they are. So we want it to be clear and we want it to be aligned. And this is right towards the end of the how section now. We want to make sure that we've got these different points. So we want to make sure that it's a shared plan between us, right? It's not just me that's invented the plan. It's my plan and I'm instructing you to follow along. We want to make it shared. So ideally, if you're working in a team, that would look like the group coming together with shared actions, shared ideas and shared involvement. And we're going to talk more about that next week as well. But if it's more of a kind of pitch, it's still about getting you involved. So by asking open questions, and if I want you to order those samples, Will, I'd say, so when do you think you could place that order by, Will?
Today.
Oh, wow. That's really good. Thank you. I look forward to getting that by, well, by the end of the day. Shall I have a look out for that then?
Oh, yeah, probably between now and 4 o'clock, actually.
Lovely. Thank you. So if only all, everybody was as quick maker as you were.
I'm apply for this example.
But even if you didn't want to do it then, it'd be, you know, I'm not ready yet. Okay, great. Well, could you let me know when would be, you know, the plan is, even if the plan isn't a yes, the plan is, well, when would it be okay for me to follow you up then and check in on those things that you said you needed to do? So you're always, what they say in sales, you're always closing. But some people feel uncomfortable with that language, but you are always closing, even if it's not a sale, you're closing a decision down. So you don't want to let Will leave or anyone leave without having agreed an action, even if that action is to follow up in a week or 2 weeks or whenever. So let's make sure we hear everybody's voice or get everybody to be involved in that plan.
And of course, just to touch on that, because you said about we're going to cover this next week a lot more, and it's just to make you realise that every step of the plan, every step of the structure is designed to make each step easier and make more sense. So by the time you get to this, you follow that structure right, it doesn't feel like you're having to get everybody to put their hand up and say yes and do that open commitment. It's kind of they're with you because they were with you from the start. So even when you're starting with, you know, the very, very first step, you are starting with the end in mind.
Yeah, that's a good point, Will, because some people aren't used to, especially with virtual, you need to be more specific, like, so can I just have a thumbs up for that? And it can feel really awkward. But you're right, because we did this at the beginning and we did the like chat and the hello and the rapport and where are you calling from or how did your day go? Or so we're going to get a shared action plan. Then we're going to make sure that the plan is very specific. So whatever that means for you, you might have your own ways of working for doing that. But making sure that you know exactly what it is with a name and a date. And that needs that the number of meetings, Will, you and I have been in lots of meetings with teams where we've been training them. And even the actions from the training, we've noticed and we've intervened, if you like, helping people to do those actions and record them in a more effective way. We've done that together, haven't we, with teams?
Yeah, because people can be very bad at these basics, like tying up a meeting, like you've had to them before, where people aren't primed for the meeting. So they don't really know what it's going to be about. So they spend 10 minutes trying to figure out why they're there. And it's the same with the end of a meeting as well. If they haven't figured out, be specific, what are we going to do now? And allow it to be woolly and just hope somebody somewhere gets it and will take action. Again, you're leaving things to chance far too much. So defining things, being, you know, giving it a name, giving it a date, so some kind of time limit when things should happen by. And yeah, like you say, we've been very, very strict on people that type printing up on the wall and sticking post-it notes on it saying, but who owns that, when's it going to happen by, how can we hold you accountable, how can we help you to help yourself to make sure that these things actually get done. they're simple things, but they make a massive difference, particularly if it's a subject that you keep coming back to. Nobody wants to come into a meeting that sounds and looks exactly like the last one we had about the same thing, and nothing's changed.
Yeah.
It drives everyone bonkers, quite rightly.
But this is why, right? Because they aren't clear, even if you've done all the other steps and you have actually said what action you want. If you're not clear about it, then it becomes confusing. And the last step in that is to make sure that everybody has reviewed it together at the end. So even if you've got all the best actions as you go along, what can happen is, you know, as the meeting's moved, you might have made a different decision from the item that you did at the beginning. So however wonderful your action taking is, you've got to review it together to make sure that what was said 25 minutes ago is still the best action for Alice to be taking after the meeting. So these are steps that I think people are maybe so bored by the end of the meeting, they're desperate to get out or they're rushing to their other meeting. You need to allow a good chunk of time to do this. And it's surprising how long good actions, if you've done a very strategic meeting, good actions can take a good old chunk of time, can't they?
Yeah, yeah. And again, it's driving home the importance of this kind of thing. So reviewing it, you think, well, I've got so much content to write through. I don't know if I've got any time to set up and be nice to everyone and ask them where they've come from and what they're thinking. And then at the end, to review things together and get specific commitments from people. It's like you find that you'll use a lot more time if you don't. So if we've had this quite a lot where people are so keen on just cramming information into that 10 minutes or half an hour or an hour that they've got in order to present something, that they forget how important these bookends are. You know, the setup and the close is just as important as the content in the middle, because otherwise it will just blow into the wind.
Yeah, and I actually say more important, because what's the point of a meeting if you're not going to take any action?
Yeah. I think it's my mantra now. My family hate me for it, but it came from working with you. It's like, well, kind of, what's the point? You're just having a lot of companies we've worked with be guilty of this. I'm just a quick 15-minute meeting. Well, if all your meetings are creating a little bit of ambiguity, then you might have 12 of those in a day. It's just a 15-minute meeting. You'd be more confused at the end of the day when you were to start with. So then what is the point? Well, just to confuse people. Great. Well, you've succeeded. But if the point is to get information shared and commitment gained, we need to do these simple things better.
Yeah, and that confusion you're talking about, what that might look like to somebody who doesn't know what it's about and where the problem is that might look like a lack of action. So you come back the next week, like you said, that meeting where it's exactly the same as last week, nobody's done any action. But also indecision. This is where indecision comes from, because I can't decide because I'm not quite clear. Even if I left the meeting with 100% intent to do that action, if we haven't agreed it all together, then it's really hard for me to make a decision outside of the meeting without anyone else there. So I'll bring that to the next meeting, which is why these meetings last for so long. So it's time for you guys to take action now. So what would we like you to do? Well, not surprisingly, we want you to take at least one action. So have a think about what action you can take now in regard to actions in your meetings or at the end of emails or in important phone calls, proposals, bids, stakeholder meetings. What action can you take and how can you improve your how section? That'd be really good for you to do that. I hope you really enjoyed episode 4 of The Debrief Show, and do join us again for episode 5, where we're going to talk about banning boring. We're going to talk about how to make longer meetings more engaging so that people don't nod off, and how to make sure that virtual meetings are interactive so you get that group consensus that we were talking about earlier in the episode. Please do join us. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with friends or colleagues or anyone you think would be interested. And there's more Debrief Show on the podcast, on Apple, on Spotify, or you can watch us on YouTube on the D. Clayton channel, The Debrief Show. Come and find us. And if you have any questions, please do drop us a line, let us know, drop us a message, and we're always happy to hear your thoughts and feedback. Until then, please keep on bringing out the best in yourself, your teams, and your communications.